Welcome to Live from the Dark Room. My name is Andy Henderson. I am a photographer and a photography teacher. Today, I am so thrilled to be talking to Alex Blankenship. But before we get started, if you would like to follow along with the podcast, you can follow us at Photo Lessons by Andy on Instagram or Facebook. You can go to photolessonsbyandy.com to sign up for a photography lesson. You can also follow Alex, our guest today, at Alex Bernstein on Instagram. So let's get right into the episode. So today we have a very special guest and one of my really close friends, photographer Alex Blankenship. We're going to be talking about gear and what makes a photo a good photo, and we're just going to see where the conversation leads. So please welcome to the podcast for the first time, hopefully not the last time, Alex Blankenship. Hey, Alex.
Yo. What's up, Andy?
How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing really well.
Really good to hear from you. I know that. So for those of you that don't know, Alex and I went to college together. We have photographed and videoed a lot of weddings and other shoots together, became really close friends in the process. And Alex is one of the kindest people that I know, and I am so thankful to have him as a friend. And he is also a very, very talented photographer and videographer. And I just want to kind of talk a little bit about you first, if that's cool. But before we get into it, can you tell me what gear you use and why? Because today we're going to be talking a little bit about gear.
Yes. Well, thank you for asking. And thank you for having me on the show. Very, very kind. For gear, I'm a Canon guy.
Yeah, I can forgive you for that.
So, you know, started in on the Rebel, and once you get locked in, once you buy some lenses, you're kind of set.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people kind of know that, but no, I've been going with Canon, and they have treated me very well. And so now what I do video and photo. And so my primary camera is the Canon EOS R, and it's like a pretty intermediate camera. It works for like professional shoots and stuff like that. So,
and that's mirrorless, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it does photo and video. It shoots 4K, which is great.
So nice.
And it's pretty much the Canon 5D Mark IV, but just mirrorless.
Yeah.
So it's been really good for me, and I've used it for the past 2 years, I think.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying with sticking with the camera system that you kind of grew up with or started your photography journey with, because it does, you start buying lenses, and then in order to switch over to a new system, you have to sell everything that you have. And that's just
everything.
So hard sometimes. I totally get that. I started with Nikon, and I have stuck with them all the way. And But if I would have started with Canon, it would have been the exact same thing. So
yeah,
totally get that.
You would have been a Canon guy.
I would have been. I could have been cool. I could have been cool like you. But so kind of bouncing off of that, if you had to use one lens for the rest of your life, what would you use and why? I know, it's like an impossible question.
This is one of those impossible questions, Andy.
I know.
I think I have an answer, though.
Okay.
So I have two answers, so I'm kind of cheating here. But
okay,
for video, I would use the Sigma 18-35 f1.8.
Okay.
Because it's just a good range, and like, I filmed a wedding this month, and only use that lens for the entire highlight video.
Wow.
It's 18-35. And so it just works great. It's a good run and gun. I mean, it's pretty affordable.
Yeah.
It's like $500, I think, $600.
That's not bad.
And for a lens, you know, lenses are super expensive sometimes. But
right,
that one for video for sure. And then for photo, I would have to say probably a 50 millimeter just because of its versatility.
Nifty 50.
The Nifty 50. I've had many 50 millimeter lenses, and right now I've got the Canon 50 millimeter 1.2.
Ooh, that's butter. Nice. That is butter.
I never shoot at 1.2 because that is absurd. Nobody should ever shoot at 1.2. Life pro tip, just make sure your subject is in focus.
Right.
That's great.
That's so interesting that you say that, because we're actually going to talk a little bit about that later on. Good. But can you tell me a little bit about your photo journey? I mean, I know that I know your journey, but people who are listening might not. And I think you have an interesting experience with photography and videography. And just kind of tell me where you started and kind of where you ended up.
Yeah, let me summarize it real quick. Yeah. So I wanted to be YouTube famous when I was like elementary school, headed into middle school. And so I found just like some Nikon cool pics or whatever.
Nice.
And yeah, I started making videos. So that was my entry. And I'm glad I'm still doing video today, but that was my entry into the whole realm of like content creation. Mm-hmm. And I never got YouTube famous, which was sad. But so I made videos with friends and stuff like that. And then they got like more complex and like edited explosions and stuff. And it was fun, man. And like once it got into high school, I was like, man, like we're actually making cool content. And, you know, I look back now, it's so cheesy and dumb. But like it wasn't just like home video lame stuff. Like we were actually doing stuff. And so it was encouraging. And you know, it prompted me into that world. But then Instagram showed up, and this was like old Alex. And I was like, man, I want to be famous. So like, I'm going to build up my Instagram account and then send people over to my YouTube channel. And so, I mean, the formula, I think, with Instagram is like, you just like stick with it, keep posting photos, and like eventually like people will follow. Right. And hopefully they'll like it and you'll get famous. But anyway, I became sort of Insta famous.
Yeah.
Had like over 30,000 followers, and then realized that was like super unhealthy for me. Mm. And like really consumed my life and harmed relationships and stuff. But I did learn a lot about photo and it has all worked out, praise God, to where like I now like actually help people and not just build up myself. So it's good, man. I've learned a lot through it. But yeah, I had that big season of pursued the Instagram deal with iPhone photography. Just kept getting newer cameras and started getting like a few gigs here and there. Like I took a photo of a bathroom. It was my first paid gig was a photo of a bathroom.
A bathroom?
So, yeah. It was $50, got paid. Man, it was that's a good humbling start.
I think. I want to get paid to take pictures of bathrooms. Come on.
For $50, yeah, man. what a gig. It's so funny to think, you know, that's how it all started. But yeah, then I started getting gigs, and then somebody was stupid and booked me for a wedding for $200. And it was a video. And then, I began to realize, I could actually do this. And so graduated college and had just built up enough references that it's sustaining me today somehow. Like, praise God. Like, but I can do weddings and pay the bills.
That's incredible. That's great. And it's really cool that you were able to see kind of what was healthy for you and what was unhealthy for you, and turn your passion and what you were already doing into something that could sustain you and really be good for you. So that's incredible, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
So today, we are going to talk a little bit about gear. I have a few points that I wanted to hit and just bounce some things off of you. But one of the questions that I get asked the most, whether it be in photography lessons that I teach or on social media, is what equipment should I buy? What gear should I buy? What camera, what lens should I buy? And I don't think that's a bad question, especially for someone taking lessons or starting out with photography. It's important to kind of know, you know, your gear and what other people are using. But I think the issue that I see specifically on social media is when you go to any quote unquote famous photographer's Instagram account, you just scroll through their comments, you'll see all these comments. What camera did you use for this? What lens did you use for this? What preset did you put on this? Like, what are you doing? How did you get this photo? And specifically for that, I kind of think those are the wrong questions to be asking. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think asking a photographer what equipment they use is fine, so you can be informed. But like all those things I mentioned, the camera, the lens, the editing, I think all of those things contribute to making a great image, but none of those things are what make images great. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Dude, you're spot on. You're spot on. I like where you're going with this.
I think I'm reminded of photographers who shot film, like Ansel Adams or Helen Levitt. Like, they would go out and take photos. You know, they weren't taking 1,500 photos for a shoot, but also they were using the equipment that they had, and they were focusing on things like composition and lighting and depth and color and things like that. And even Ansel Adams with a lot of his black and white stuff, like, when I go back and look at those photos, I'm like, they're just so well constructed from a photography skill standpoint, and from the basic standpoint, they're so well done that it's like you look at some of these photos that are really popular today and they're really, really cool. But I think a big problem is that it's just all about the depth, and bringing it back around to what you were saying about shooting at 1.2. Like, I think that's a lot of the questions, like, oh, how did you get this? Oh, well, now I just have to buy this 1.2 lens and all of my problems are going to be solved. Like, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that?
Definitely not. Oh my.
So tell me a little bit about what you think about that and those, I guess, questions and problems that you see.
Yeah. I like where you're headed in that. And, kind of like what I had mentioned earlier, if you buy this fancy lens, you know, because I watched so many YouTube videos of like, oh, buy this lens or buy that lens. And I am somebody who just like gravitates towards gear.
Yeah.
And so I've been there, I've done that. And one thing I'm realizing is like, you could have all the stuff, you could have thousands of dollars worth of lenses and things like that, but like, it really comes down to like the subject matter. It comes down to, what are you even taking a photo of, and is this something that resonates with people? So I don't shoot at 1.2 anymore. I used to shoot exclusively at like the largest aperture possible,
right?
Because it does make some good depth and it looks pretty, but I began to realize like, oh, like this isn't even focused on their eye. Like, people would be out of focus. And I was like, oh wait, this isn't a quality product to deliver to a wedding client.
Right.
And so, you learn that as you go along. But good gear is helpful.
No, for sure.
If you're taking worthwhile photos.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's spot on.
Yeah. But a cool thought that I had was, I think Instagram was really helpful for me. It's like a humble beginning for photographers. And especially back when I was really into it a few years ago, it was mostly iPhone photos.
Yeah.
And so we were out here sniping photos with like an iPhone 5 or iPhone 4, and like with maybe not even 10 megapixels.
Right.
And obviously you can't like zoom in, you know, with the old iPhones or anything like that. So we were out here taking photos with iPhones, and it forces you, like when you have limitations on you, it forces you to think about content and stuff. And so that was really, you know, like wanting to be popular on Instagram. I was like, oh, I need to have the best photos. And so you strive to set yourself apart, and you realize, oh, I can do that through the subject matter, or like, is the photo I'm taking like subtle, and is it funny, you know, or is it dramatic? And also, is it just artistic, you know, is it in the thirds, or is it centered and the lighting and everything like that? That's what drives a photo. And nowadays, like, it's so hard to tell like what people take photos on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more so about, like, you know, what story's being told.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thought on that.
No, I think that's dead on. I mean, I find myself struggling with that sometimes, where I feel like sometimes I rely a little bit too much on my gear to do the work for me, that I'm not thinking as much about things like composition, rule of thirds, just basic fundamentals of photography that I've been taught. I just don't think about them as much sometimes because I'm just too focused on what I'm doing with the camera and what I'm going to do in post. And I think that's a dangerous place to fall into. So sometimes I just have to remind myself, hey, fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. And like, I think the best thing that a new photographer can do is exactly what you were saying, is learn those things that make a good photo, and master them with whatever gear you have. You know, if you have a Nikon D40 and a kit 18 to 55 lens, I guarantee you that there are photographers out there that could take that camera and get a better shot than other photographers using a 5D Mark IV and an 85 1.2, just based on their composition and lighting skills and talents alone. And I think that's why, and that's not to diss on anybody who goes out and buys new equipment. That's just, I think, more for me saying, how can we teach people to be better at the basics so that when they do end up getting that gear, they can then go and take even better photos because they have good gear and they know what they're doing with it. I think that's really important too.
Yeah, dude, I'd argue that a lot of creativity comes through restrictions or limitations on yourself, boundaries or parameters. So yeah, that's one thing I've noticed is nowadays, I like that lens I told you about I do for video, the 18 to 35, that is the only lens I take for the whole day.
Wow.
If I'm doing a highlight video. And I don't have to think like, oh, should I pull out the 70 to 200? Because I have like a gear that I've built up over the years. Like I have dozens of lenses I could choose from.
Yeah.
Dozens, I think, is excessive. But I have like 10 lenses, I think, that I could use. And if I have all of those, like what you were saying is like, it just bogs you down. And like, you're not even thinking about what you're doing anymore. And so, yeah, honestly, like the limitation and like the urgency of like, hey, we're going to have to figure out how to cover this angle with a 50 millimeter or whatever type of lens you've got. And you adapt to it and you adjust, and it forces you to think of composition. I think it ends up creating, you know, images that people might not have gotten before. So
absolutely
through limitation.
So. Definitely. I love that. And I love what you said about limitation, because when I first started, I was shooting on a Nikon D40, I was referencing earlier. I don't even know, 10 megapixels maybe. And I had a 50 millimeter lens. It was 1.8, but it wasn't compatible with the D40, so it didn't autofocus. And that was the only lens that I had. And so...
You didn't even have autofocus.
No, I was manual focusing every single shoot.
Wow.
And it really taught me...
That's a limitation right there.
Oh, it's definitely a limitation. And what it did was it taught me how important focus is. And I feel like I am very, very precise on focus now. I mean, I use autofocus, of course, but I feel like I'm just a stickler for things being sharply in focus. And I think that's because of the limitations that I had, where I took so many out of focus photos with that 50 millimeter lens because it would not autofocus. It physically would not autofocus. And so I think that was what kind of drove me to make sure that everything that I was doing was in order to get a sharp, in focus, clean photo. And yeah, I think limitations, I love what you said about that. I'm going to pull that out. It's going to be a pull quote. I'm going to use that on Instagram.
Oh, good, dude. I'm pumped about that.
Listen, I really, really appreciate you being willing to make this phone call and talk about this. But before we go, I do want to ask, what would you say, what advice would you give to someone who is starting out in photography and either worried about gear, worried about having the right gear or the best gear, or just any advice in general for someone who's just starting out and wanting to grow in photography or even videography?
That's such a good question. Get out there and do it. Just take photos and take videos, whatever, you know, field you're in, photo or video, maybe both. But yeah, get out there and take photos and stop watching YouTube videos about gear that you wish you had, because you're going to buy that gear and then new gear is going to come out and you're going to want that gear too. So I'm glad I'm out of the cycle, and I actually prefer, like, I have the Canon EOS R, but man, I kind of miss the shutter. Like, I really do. Like, yeah. There's something sweet and special about it. So, and like, I understand the concept of like limitations now, and I'm like, man, like, I got really good images with the old gear. And, but yeah.
I like that.
Don't buy the lie that you have to have the new gear. Yeah. Gear is good and that will come eventually, but get out there and shoot some stuff.
Yeah.
And get paid so you can go and buy the gear. So,
all right. There you go.
That's my suggestion right there.
I love that.
Anyone who's starting out, is just get out there, have some fun, take some photos.
And I think that even brings up another point that I hadn't even thought about, but I was meaning to talk about is the disappointment I think you might feel getting that new gear without learning, without going out and shooting every day, just getting the new gear and expecting it to solve your problems. Like I said earlier, I think that could be a huge disappointment to someone who's starting out, who's like, well, I have a kit lens, I'm going to go buy a 50 millimeter prime lens and it's going to solve every problem that I have. And then that disappointment that you feel. Like, I even remember when I switched from crop sensor to full frame, there was clearly a difference in quality, but my photos, I felt like, I guess, you know, this was 6 or 7 years ago. I just thought, yeah, I'm going to be such a good photographer. I'm going to be able to take such great images with this full frame camera. And then I get the full frame camera and it's just disappointment because I'm taking the same kinds of photos that I had been taking.
Yeah. That's so funny. I will say, yeah, I'll be at weddings at times and like, I'm on like my best gear, like shooting on like a several $1,000 setup or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like I won't have any lighting in the room and it just looks terrible. It's like, it doesn't change.
It doesn't.
Just 'cause the gear, like, make sure your lighting's good. Like, that's essential.
Yeah.
And yeah. Make sure your eye has been trained to find those good moments and those good photos.
Absolutely. So before we go, one last question for you. Who would you recommend that new photographers go out and look at? Like, whose work would you say you should look at if you want to learn more about either composition or lighting or just photography in general? Like, who should you study?
That is such a good question. And I have a weird answer for you.
Give it to me.
But I would study art, honestly. Rembrandt, the way that he works with lighting, just an amazing artist, and the shadow play and stuff like that. And the spacing and art, like, it's tedious to make a painting like that. And like, they know what they're getting into when they're making artwork. Like, they're making work to be put on a wall. And so you want to study that. So, because you want your photos to be the things that go on walls. And so I would study stuff that's been up in museums for ages and see, like, what did they get right? What looks good about that? And like, maybe even like get a Pinterest. I know not a lot of guys use Pinterest, but like, get a Pinterest and start creating boards of work that you like. You know, Instagram, I feel like it's kind of easy to get into a strive for fame or something like that. But I would suggest Pinterest and old school art. Wow. I feel like it's timeless. You know, those paintings have been around for a very long time, and there's a reason for it.
Wow.
Their quality.
That may be the best answer that anybody could possibly give. That was such a good answer. Such a unique answer. I really, really, really like that. Alex, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your advice and thoughts and having just this dialogue. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you're back on the show soon. I really want to talk more with you about other things and you and photography and videography and all of it.
Well, dude, I'm so glad that you asked me.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode, and we will see you soon.